Only by His grace, amen. You know, you don't have to talk to somebody very long. You find out if they don't understand it's all by grace, there's something wrong. Something wrong in their theology, something wrong in what they think they have, because all we have is by His grace, amen. I want you to go to the New Testament. We kind of got in the Old Testament, probably muddied the water pretty good this morning. Go to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, familiar verses. I want to talk to you on a subject that right at first just sounds like, well, we know that, but boy, it's under attack today. Talk to you on the subject, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? I think about the preacher that went to call on a family, and he knocked on the door. And the wife was home alone, and she thought it was her husband, and she called out. She said, "Is that you, angel?" He said, "No, but I'm from the same department." Now, question sometime, you make a mistake, you better know who the Lord is for sure, amen. Philippians chapter 2, we'll jump into about verse 5, read down through about verse 11. And of course, Paul writing to the church here at Philippi, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." That's a good verse to show Jehovah's Witness when they come to your door. Verse 7, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You know, this question might sound routine to you, but it's behind the big reason for the big wars on planet Earth. Right? The struggle of the nations. Really? You can see that in history. For instance, right here in the book of Philippians, we know how the church got started. We know that Paul got locked up in jail, and he and Silas were singing songs at midnight. And we remember how God sent the earthquake, and ultimately the jailer and his family got saved and baptized that night, and the church got started in Philippi. And of course, we have Paul writing back to the Philippians after some number of years. And yet right here in Philippi, where he's saying this, where this statement's being made, when he says here that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, he was running astray crossways against the Roman government. See, Philippi wasn't always named Philippi. I think it had to do with some springs or something. But some of you know a little bit of Roman history, and by the way, it's pretty good to know a little bit about it, because a lot of what has happened to Rome has happened to America. We're going to wind up the same way, the way it's going. But there in Philippi, the name got changed to Philippi by Philip of Macedonia, which was the daddy, a father of Alexander the Great. He came, he changed the name. And if you know a little bit about the Roman history, that I know it's been perverted by Hollywood and all that business, but there was a Caesar, and that Caesar basically being the name of the office, Octavian. Remember him? He was the general that defeated Mark Antony. Listen, I know Shakespeare and all that stuff was dull in school. I hate it, but some of it I remember. And you remember Mark Antony, and you've seen some movies made, especially of the sexual side of the Cleopatra and Mark Antony and all that business. But Octavian took the name Augustus. And we need to understand what that means. At Christmas time, I've heard it so many years till I almost resent hearing it anymore. But in every Christmas play that we have at Christmas time, some little boy or girl has to memorize Luke chapter 2. How many of his kids had to memorize that? Look at the hands going up. I told you I was right. Verse 1, Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. That is Octavian right there. Augustus, he chose that name. Caesar Augustus, and you understand the word Augustus means venerated, highly elevated. Actually, it means Lord or God. So what you have here is you have the Caesars claiming to be Lord, claiming to be God. Now, can you imagine Paul in Philippi saying to him here that every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Not Caesar Augustus, but that Jesus is Lord. Now, that would pretty well shake up the little town and really get you in trouble, because you see, the people begin to kind of elevate the Caesar and worship the Caesar. By the way, he was the one they got their goodies from. He was the Robin Hood. He was the Santa Claus that was bringing in the socialistic thing, and so they looked for him to come in and to help them. And so they didn't mind playing along. Don't you suspect in their heart they knew he wasn't God, but they pretended. Sort of like the emperor has on no clothes. You remember that little fable? You remember that when everybody said, oh, what a bright suit. What a wonderful new suit. Until the little girl says, he don't have on any clothes. Kids will tell you the truth. Amen. Now, you did remember that one, didn't you? All right. I got to make sure what kind of group I'm preaching to tonight. But anyway, what a shakeup it was for Paul to come in here to Philippi, where they thought Caesar, or pretended Caesar, was God, Caesar was Lord, and he said, oh no, Jesus is Lord. Can you understand why he might have wound up in jail or wound up somewhere else in trouble and all that? Because this title was assumed, this Augustus thing was assumed, and Caesar treated it as though he was Lord. Now that brings me to this. This is the conflict that we see. Turn with me back to the left, back to Acts. Acts 17, I believe I want to go to. Go with me to Acts chapter 17 and pick it up in about, let me look here, verse 6, 7, Acts chapter 17. Then you understand a little bit about what's behind these words, because see where Paul was going, he was in the Roman Empire. And in the Roman Empire, there was a lot of this Augustus business, Caesar business, God business, Caesar's Lord business. And so when he goes in preaching that Jesus is Lord, and that Caesar's just a man, as it were, I mean, the obvious is if Christ is Lord, there's only one, amen? So in Acts 17, verse 16, you have Paul going to Athens here. And you have him telling them who the unknown God really was. And before he gets to Athens, though, you pick it up in verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, these, here's the charge, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Now, how'd they turn the world upside down? By telling them the emperor has no clothes. Caesar is not God. Jesus is the Lord. And so that shook things up, you see, very much. And that's why they charged him here in verse 7. Then Jason, having received, and these all do contrary to what? The decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. So you understand what they're saying there? They're saying, hey, it turned the world upside down. They're saying our God's not a God, and that they've got a king greater than our king. So there's the argument that you have going on right there. Now, what Paul was saying about the Lord Jesus has already been said pretty much about God Because who was Jesus? He was God incarnate in the flesh. Go back with me, and I'll let you use your Bible a little bit tonight. Go back to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, and let's pick it up in, just a couple of verses. Verse 20, maybe. Maybe through down through about verse 22 or 3. This is the Lord speaking. 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who have declared this from ancient time? Who have told it from that time? And here he says, have not I the Lord? You see the capital letters in your King James? That's given the name of the Lord, full deity. And there is no God else besides me. Now who's speaking? The Lord God Jehovah. A just God and a Savior. See the capital S there? There's none besides me. Look at verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Going down to verse 23 and you'll see the text almost word for word out of Philippians. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Here it is. Here's the word. That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. It's pretty close to what we read in Philippians, isn't it? Isn't that what the Lord, Paul said about the Lord? He said that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, this is an issue I'm talking to you about tonight. Let me tell you what it's about. And much of what the Bible's about and much of the trouble, almost all the trouble in the world comes from this. Who's going to rule the kingdom of earth? Amen. Let me tell you how that's true. It's about the kingdom. Now, you can read in Scofield's notes, and he kind of raises the thought, and possibly so, that we don't know what took place before Satan appeared in the garden with Adam and Eve. We do know he must have appeared there to try to hurt God. They were his creation. But there's a good possibility that Satan, and we know Satan had already fallen before he took on the form of a serpent and showed up to test the first man and woman in the garden. And because of that, we believe, and it seems to be apparently at least hinted at in Scripture, that Satan had lost his first estate, so to speak. That first estate might have covered his rule even over earth. Now, I'm not getting into all the argument over that, except to say Adam was given dominion, but Adam fell. And Satan has had dominion. He's called in the Bible the God of this world. He's called in the Bible the prince and power of the air. And the truth of the matter is today, I had a fellow I won to the Lord a few years ago, and an amazing thing. Right after he got saved, his wife left him, and he found out she was already having an affair before he ever got saved with another man. I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, "Preacher, where's God? I see the work of the devil everywhere, but I don't see God's work." I said, "Yes, you do. You're just looking at the one side of it right now. And that side is out there. What we're not facing in America tonight is there is an evil side in this world. A very, very wrong, evil, sinful side. And there is a conflict. There is a struggle. And the struggle about is who's going to rule the kingdom of this old world. And the struggle in my breast and in yours is who we're going to let sit on our throne of our little world and our little kingdom. Our little life." And young people, you better think about that some, because the devil really wants to be your ruler. He wants to sit on your throne. He wants to be in charge of your little kingdom. And that's what it's about as we look around and see the struggle today. Who is Lord? You know, Christians were thrown to the lions because they wouldn't say Caesar was Lord. Just that. Polycarp, understudy, staff member, if you please, of John the Revelator that wrote the book of Revelation, was burned at the stake because he would not say Caesar was Lord. You've heard me say it. The captain of the Roman guard took Polycarp out to burn him at the stake. He was an old man. He was 86 years old. And the captain had compassion and he said, "Look, all you got to do is say that Caesar is licit." Latin for Lord. And Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him. He's not failed me yet, and I'll not deny him now. And he was burned at the stake. If you drove a car up here tonight, if you drove one up here legally, you got a license tag on it. A license. The word license comes from the Latin word licit. And when one said that Caesar was licit, they were saying that he is Lord, that he has the top power. You know why you got a tag on your car tonight or a driver's license in your pocket? Because the state's more powerful than you. And so you're saying the state is licit. They have licensed me to drive my car or to carry a driver's license. And so we recognize that, and we understand biblically that's okay for us to give governments its place. But at the same time, it could come down in the future like it did with the early church, where you're going to face a time that you're going to have to decide who's Lord and what price you'll pay to continue to say he's Lord. And the pressure is on in a lot of places today. You know what's behind Islam's slaughter of innocent people and the awful butchery that they're carrying on today? Let me tell you what's behind it. Their ideology, their theology, so to speak, their religion. Now, they won't say this in Washington, but it is their religion that is the motivator behind all of it. And it's a false religion serving a false God. And the whole problem is, who is Lord? And you need to understand the attack is on Jesus. If you want to make a Muslim mad, you tell him Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again from the dead, and that he's coming back to take over the kingdoms of this world. They hate that because that's exactly what they're fighting. And that's the reason they're fighting. You see, you hear a little bit of this in the news every now and then. You'll hear, well, it's a apocalyptic religion, speaking of Islam. Now, we know the book of Revelation can be called the apocalypse if you want to impress somebody with a big word, but really it's the thing. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We understand that. But many speak of the book of Revelation as a apocalyptic viewpoint of how the things are going to shake out in the end, and how the world's going to be under God's judgment, and how the Lord is going to come back and take over. Yes, it is apocalyptic if you want to use that word, but Jesus is one day going to be revealed back in flame and fire, the book of Revelation says, taking over. Now, the Muslims' view is that their man is going to take over, not Jesus. Comes back to who is Lord, who is King, you see. And that's what's behind their ideology today. You hear that in the news. You heard me say a little bit about it. They believe they have 12, like we think about the 12 disciples of Christ. They believe they had 12 imams. And by the way, we're talking about 700 years, 650 to 700 years after Christ, that Islam come on the scene. And that's documented in any history book you want to look up. And they believe they had 12 imams, and that all of them were killed or missing, but one they couldn't account for. And that one, they believe, is coming back as their man. I'm giving you what's in their books. They believe he's hiding in a well somewhere over in the Middle East. That's how stupid it is, and yet they're out there dying for that kind of junk and killing others because of that kind of junk. And that one day he's coming out of the well to take over. Now, if you think I'm, what was the old guy's, the guy come over here and kept blaspheming at the UN? Somebody help me with his name. No help tonight. You're making the sermon a lot longer when you don't help me like this. Abedinajad, amen. That's right. Thank you, Brother Larson. Or is it Brother Larson that said it? Well, you said it. All right, you only get half credit. Thank you. I just lose names sometime. Anyway, Abedinajad, when he would stand up and speak at the UN after we'd invited him over here, he'd do this sort of thing. If you'd watch him, he'd do a thing with his hands. He'd have his head bowed, and he'd mumble a prayer, and he'd pray to the prophet, and he's talking about Muhammad, And he's saying this prayer about the 12th Amon coming back to take over. And yet all of our media, all of our news folks, nobody ever exposed that. Now, if they'd let me speak to them, and I said, all right, before I speak, I'm going to have a word of prayer, that'd have blown the lid off if I mentioned Jesus. But they let him get by with it every time he come over. And he would even say in his speech such things as those that do not serve the prophet, talking about Muhammad, those that do not study the prophet. And yet Americans heard that on their TV, saw that, and the United Nations, which is mostly operating off of American tax money, let that thing go. And they talk about him having the apocalyptic view. Now, in their view, Jesus is subject to their Amon, and that when he comes back, Jesus, like a little boy following his dad, will come and be the servant to this fellow that's coming back. They do not believe Jesus was God. They do not believe he was the Son of God. They do not believe he had a resurrection. They do not believe that at all. And they believe when this apocalyptic time comes, and they believe it's their job to bring it on, and that's what all the fight is about. That's why they're wanting to get the bomb. Listen, we have it, and Israel has it, and a few others. We're not going to use it, but you let them get it, and they're going to use it. I guarantee you they're going to use it. And here's the thing. They're saying they've got to bring it in to establish their caliphate, their kingdom. And you'll hear that word caliphate used every now and then in the news. And that's their plan. What ISIS, and our president calls them ISIL, giving them more credit than they deserve. The word ISIL covers the whole Levant, which is the whole territory. And when he calls them ISIL, it's almost like code that he's saying to them, I believe you have the right for the take conquer all this territory. For a long time, he was the only one that would call them ISIL. Now, keep noticing other newsmen begin to call them ISIL. Different in the word ISIS and ISIL. And you see, he's saying, you know what that territory covers? You know what the Levant, the territory that he's talking about for ISIL to cover? Do you know that takes in Jordan? That takes in Saudi Arabia? And it takes in Israel. And so in a code way, we're saying, okay, you got the right to even take in Israel also. And that's what it's all about. Of course. Now, check out what I'm saying. You can study it out. You can find it out. Here in the next Tuesday, I believe it is, the Prime Minister of Israel is coming over, Netanyahu, to visit and to speak in Congress. Now, you know what he's going to speak about? He's going to speak about, let's not let Iran get the nukes. Let's not let them get the power to destroy us, because they've already committed to destroy Israel and to destroy America. And they've made it plain, they've made it clear, and yet we got at least 35 or 40 Democrats that's not going to be in Congress because they're going to boycott him. Help yourself. I'm too old to care what people think anymore. Just bless God, give them the truth, let them get on, get off, or get out, or get in. Amen. Amen. Say amen to myself once in a while. And of course the president and the vice president's not going to be there. They're really mad that he's coming. You see, I'm not giving you anything you can't get. You won't get this on the soap operas, but you can get it out of some of the news. Amen? We're getting in trouble as we side against the nation of Israel. There's a lot of worry right now, because not only that Iran's going to get the nukes, but Israel is only going to be able to wait so long. They're a very little nation. They cannot stand to be hit first. They cannot have a nuke attack on them first. So if they know that it's coming, they're going to strike first. And when you read in your Bible, Ezekiel 36 through 38, you can find out there's a nuclear war going on in the mountains of Israel. You're going to find out that the northern army is destroyed. Only 1/6 of it is left. You're going to read what that coalition of the nations are in Ezekiel 36 through 38. It's Russia. It's Iran. It's Syria. It's the very ones you're hearing all about in the news right now, that coalition moving, as I said this morning, nations against Israel. It'll finally wind up with all the nations, and I hate to say it, but America too will finally come against Israel, and Jesus will have to come back to save them. I preached on the rescue this morning. That's the Bible, folks. Say, is it ever going to happen? Yes, it's going to happen because God wrote about it. And not one promise is going to be broken that he's made. Not one word's going to return void. It's going to happen. So who is Lord? That's what it's about. Is it the man, the 12th Imam of Islam? Is he Lord? No, he's not. Paul said Jesus is Lord. And the time's coming, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, America right now is trying to get us. I read this a while ago that Sister Molly brought me. They're coming over here telling us what we can cook and serve them and what we can't. That ain't a joke. Personally, I think, well, I better watch it, I guess. I'm going to deviate a little bit just because I want to hear it again. There's a black and white movie I made a long time ago when Gary Cooper was a young beginning actor. Anybody remember Gary Cooper? High Noon, all that. Remember that? All right. Gary Cooper was in that movie, and it was called The Bengal Lancers. And it was a movie made of the French Foreign Legion. And Gary Cooper was one of the soldiers in that. And they were over in the Middle East, and they were fighting the Muslims. But see, we had not got to the place in those days. Even Hollywood had not got to the place to be politically correct. So when they made the movie, the Arabs, which, remember this, check me out, don't take my word for it. In World War II, who did the Arabs side with? They sided with Hitler. They even helped round up Jews for him. So back in the day when the Bengal Lancers was made, they didn't mind about telling the truth. And so part of the battle over there with the French Foreign Legion was depicting fighting with the Muslims. And some of the stuff went on in the movies, and they didn't have computers to enhance it like we do now and all that stuff. But if you ever catch it on a late night sometime, watch it. It's very politically incorrect now. Very much. But one of the things they did after some atrocities had been committed, and Gary Cooper and some of his crew went out and took some Muslims captive, and they were trying to get them to talk and confess whatever the evil was they'd done, and they were going to put them before a firing squad. That still didn't bother the Muslims because they think to die is to go to heaven with 72 virgins. Check me out. Hey, let me deviate again, and I hope I come back and don't lose what I was going to tell you. I hope. I was up pretty late last night. Where was I at, man? Their heaven. Now, remember, here on earth, cover up the women. Make them look like a walking pup tent. Amen. Ladies, you better be glad you were not born over there. And I can't understand these stupid young girls trying to go. They don't know what in the world they're getting into. You're seeing that on the news. But I'm going to lose it. I'm not trying to get it back. They're heaven. They get it back. On earth, their soul claims so much separation. Dress the women like they do, and all of this business. They can't drive a car. They can't go to town. They can't be seen in the presence of another man unless he's kin to them. All that junk, and at the same time, while they would call that sin here, their heaven is filled with sin. Adultery with 72 virgins. So what they deny on earth, all of a sudden get to heaven and they can do it. Do you understand that the hijackers that hit us on 9/11, they had assurance they were going to heaven because they were going to take out some infidels in their death, and that's the only way they could have assurance of going to heaven. So Even though the planes burn up and the buildings and all that, they found enough to know that those pilots, as the last few minutes as they began to fly those planes into the towers, they had a white sheet, their death sheet, so to speak, and they pulled it up over them like that. They were getting ready to go to their heaven, but the several nights that was over here in America getting ready to get those planes and to fly them into the towers, they went out to the houses of prostitution. See, they already had their assurance of heaven. They were going to die taking out infidels. So they indulged the flesh every way they could before they got on the planes and committed suicide. You say, well, people wouldn't believe that stuff. Yes, they follow it. It's their ideology. It's what's driving what's going on now. And you need to understand what Washington needs to understand is that's bad religion is the motivator of the whole thing. You know, that's why, though, politically correct, we can't call it Islamic. And our military is really suffering. Our boys in the military, I feel so sorry for them, the way they're doing them. Liberals in Hollywood is trying to put a stigma and a phobia and on you if you're against Islam. Islamic phobia, whatever they call it. It is crazy. We've had people, we had Cassius Clay. I remember listening to him fight when he was a young man. His name was Cassius Clay. And then he changed it to Muhammad Ali. Remember? And I still kind of liked him, but he was pretty stupid to do that. But by the way, there's some others changed their name too. Kareem Abdul. Say it for me, Matt. I hear him on the radio station giving out all these facts, but I forget he's reading them. Amen. I'm joking at him now. Gabbar, is that what you said? Jabbar. All right, good. Thanks. I think he was on the O'Reilly program, and he was trying to argue for Islam. Now, when somebody changes their name to that religion, they're telling you something. I mean, if a fellow named Barry changes his name to Barack, get mad at me, I could care less. I'll go home tonight, I'll open the refrigerator, I'll get something to eat, I'll watch a little news, and I'll go to bed, and I won't even be bothered by what you're thinking. So help yourself. When somebody changes his name, something's happened to change his philosophy. If all of a sudden you're wearing a name that's got a identification behind it, everybody's got a right to think you believe in what that name represents. Amen. America's in a mess right now, folks. Hollywood's trying to put a guilt trip on us. If we are resisting the Muslim religion, we're going to resist it. I guarantee you that. Allah is not the Lord God, Jehovah. Muhammad picked out of about 360 God names. When he came to power, he picked one, and that was the moon god, Allah. You see the crescent moon on their mosque? I mean, it's identified. That's all it is. And he began his raids and conquering with a sword, doing just what they're doing now, stealing, kidnapping young girls and women, putting men, either killing them, putting them under their tax, or making slaves. That's what they did. There's a little old town over there. It's an old, old place. It's called Timbuktu. Anybody remember it? My mother used to get mad at my brother and I and say, I'll send you to Timbuktu. I thought she made it up. And then one day in grammar school, we studied about Timbuktu. I'd be incorrect, politically incorrect, to do that now. Oh, yeah, couldn't do it. That was the slave trade city. That's where they brought the slaves in and auctioned them off. The Arabs brought in the ships, met them on the shore. One chieftain would have war with another chieftain out in the jungle. One tribe would fight another tribe. One tribe would take another tribe captive, bring them out to the shore, sell them as slaves. Put them on the boat, first take them to England, and finally to America. But Timbuktu was the big trading place, and it was run by Arabs, and you can still go over today. Hey, by the way, you can still buy slaves there today. Oh, yeah. Slavery's not dead in this old world. It's in a lot of places. You can buy them right over there today. And you better be careful when you go over there, to be very careful, or you'll be on the block yourself. Amen. But Allah is not God. He was the moon god. Muhammad chose him as that, and he continued to raid with the swords and all that business. Now, here's the good news. Jesus is going to return and settle the whole business. Amen. He is. He's going to prove who is Lord. And this three verses I read you that Paul said, the day is going to come that everybody is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's going to happen. The good news now is you confess him as Lord and Savior and have your name written in heaven and have your sins forgiven and be saved. That's the good news. But you're going to confess him one day when it won't be for salvation. It'll just be to the glory of the Father. That's going to happen. Oh, yes, who's going to rule the kingdom? Don't you remember what we used to call the Lord's Prayer before it became illegal in school? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. He's coming back to take a kingdom. The king is coming. You don't have a kingdom without the king, and the king is coming, and he's going to take over what is rightfully his, and the fight between he and Satan is going to finally show who the real king is and who the usurper is. Oh, the Antichrist will make his appearance. He'll be the devil's man. He won't last long, and Jesus is coming back. He's going to settle it with the Jews. You read in the book of Zechariah, where I read it to you this morning, he's coming back to rescue them at the last minute. They're going to recognize him. They're going to say, where'd you get the wounds in your hands and your feet? And he's going to say, or on your side, he's going to say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. John 1:11, he came unto his own received him not. Verse 12, but unto as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of God. One day, I received him. I become a son of God. He is the son of God, but I am one of God's son because of Christ. He's my elder brother. I'm in the family. I'm a joint heir with him, according to the word of God. Amen. He's coming back to show who the real king is. He'll settle it with the Jews nationally. Zechariah reads, we read it this morning even. He's going to settle with the heathen. Turn with me quickly to Psalms chapter 2. If you understand when you read Psalms chapter 2, this is the whole picture. It's the whole thing about who's going to be Lord, who's going to be the head of the kingdom. So here in Psalms chapter 2, why do the heathen rage? Now the heathen, the other nations, we think of them. Somebody says, where do the heathen go? That's an argument soul winners have asked, you know, thrown up to them. Where do the heathen go? Soul winner, the next time somebody says, where do the heathen go? Tell them they go to Walmart. They go to ball games. They even go to church. Outside of Jesus, we're heathen. You understand that? Why do the heathen rage? And I understand the big meaning of it is nations. And so God is saying, why do the nations or why do the heathens rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Boy, we're in the day of imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers to take counsel together. Now, what are they counseling about? Here it is, the word against. Against who? The Lord. And against his anointed, who's that? Jesus. And so the kings of the world take counsel together against Jesus. See, it's about who's going to be Lord. And here's what they say in verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Get your strings off of me. Get your Ten Commandments off of me. Get your rules off of me. Get your Bible off of me. Cast away the cords. Look how God takes it in verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Somebody says, who gets the last laugh? The Lord does. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vexed them in his sore displeasure. Yet, here's the point, verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. See, that's how it's going to end up, but right now that's what the fight's about. That's why we got the wars. That's why we got a false religion moving across the globe tonight, killing everybody. It's about who is Lord. Who is Lord? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. That's Jesus, folks. That's Jesus. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen, the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth. It's covering it pretty good. Uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Do you understand when Jesus comes back leading the armies of heaven to set up his kingdom, he's going to rule with a rod of iron? Oh yeah, we've quoted that for a long time, but he is. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. And here's their chance. God's giving them an invitation right here. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And look how plain it is in verse 12. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Have you put your trust in him? Then you're blessed. You're blessed. Jesus is going to return. He's going to settle with the Jews. Oh, I believe he's taking the church, the saved out first. And he's going to deal with the Jews in the tribulation period. And he's going to deal with the heathen at the Battle of Armageddon. And he's going to set up his kingdom. Just exactly what we read in Psalms 2 is going to be fulfilled. And the whole earth is going to know who the Lord is. They're going to know who Jesus is. Yes, they are. In 2 John, that little short book, I think 13 verses in it. Listen to it. Be careful today that you don't deny his name, because the pressure is going to get on you. The pressure is on the kids in the schools. The pressure is on the colleges and the university. You know, very few kids can go to the university anymore without having to confront this. Very few. And in the book of 2 John, listen to it. John is talking here. He says in verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he's not the Son of God. This is Islam. They don't confess that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. This is a, what John says in verse 7, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. That's the verse I'm reading. This is a good short little book, 13 verses. You ought to be able to find it quick when the Jehovah Witness come to your door and show it to them, because they don't believe that Jesus was God. He was a son in the sense that he was a created being like Michael or Gabriel. No, he was God, equal with God. I read it in the text. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. God incarnate in the flesh. And some of you folks, I know you're kind and you're nice, but you ought to look at these verses. It gives you instructions what to do with folks that knock on your door that don't believe Jesus was God. Here's what it says. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed, and don't give him a dime for his literature. I added that in my version. Don't buy his false doctrine from him. Say, hey, I can't let you in. This verse forbids me to let you in, because you're preaching the wrong doctrine here. Jesus was God. Now you better stick by that. Amen. Defend the name of Christ. Do not deny his name. We're seeing that as the spirit of the age now, the spirit of Antichrist. This word Lord's important. Who is Lord? Who is Lord? Is he your Lord tonight? You know, when you so when, and you go to the Roman road, Romans 10. Do you ever analyze Romans 10, 9? We quote it, we tell people, we pray with people about it, and all of that's good, but think about what it says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord. Hey, that's important to the Father. He said that this is day coming that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. That day is coming. We're coming to a head-on collision in the world today about who is Lord. Who's going to get the kingdom? I'm on side with Jesus. Amen. I hope you know him. Let's